The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. Live from Bar Canada at the D here in lovely downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Doing very well. NBA Finals are set. We're going to talk about that momentarily after a nothing burger last night of a game.
I thought it was the greatest game ever.
I'm sure you did. We will talk about all kinds of things later on the show, including Jason Weingarten will be here from Under a Cloud of Smoke, of course. Jordan Sherwood on UFC 302. Chris Felica, Champions League thoughts. And are you ready for this? College football season win totals. Just
love
a couple
it.
Of them, though.
Love it.
A couple of them to whet your appetite. You know who used to pronounce whet like that? Ron Flatter. Why, Gil? Why? Who, what, where? Okay, that's enough. John Legesa, Instant Offense, the Microwave, will join us as well to talk with his baseball picks today. Paul Carr will talk soccer with us as well. His thoughts on the Champions League final. How can I put this, Kelly? You know, yesterday I had a day to reflect. It's May 30th, 2024. You know what I did yesterday, by the way? I went to California and back. And so I had a lot of time to reflect. And one of the things I reflected upon was you sort of saying, you know, Gil, for the content, we need a June MLB bet. And I said after the March-April Cleveland Guardians gut punch and out away from cashing at 65-1. And then after the Guardians, and by the way, again, shout out to the Guardians. You have given me 2 months of awesomeness despite not cashing. They come one game shy. This game today doesn't mean anything to them because they'll end up third, or at least they're in third right now. It's between, by the way, the Yankees and Phillies. We'll update all that later. I said to myself, self, maybe you should look over June's schedules in Major League Baseball. And so, by the way, here's your most wins by the end of May update. Yankees heading into tonight after their 5-run win over the Angels yesterday, 8-3. Yankees are 20-7, Phillies are 19-7, and there's our poor Guardians at 18-9. Right after that, pour out a 40 for the guards.
And I feel bad for JVT too, right? Didn't he?
Oh, he had the Phillies too.
Phillies and Guardians.
Well, is he at a dead heat or is he at Circa? I can't remember.
I'm guessing Circa, but I don't.
Yeah, if he's at Circa, he's out. If he's at a dead heat shop, Phillies win, Yankees lose. Phillies and Yankees can tie.
Yeah, good point.
Yankees are at San Francisco. You know how Giants Magic go. Phillies hosting the Cardinals. So I looked over June schedules, and, you know, at first they weren't at Circa, right? They were only at Caesars, William Hill. And I was like, oh, okay, it's only a one shop, and it's a dead heat. I'm not sure how interested I am. Not that I wouldn't be interested necessarily in a dead heat, but sometimes I'm more interested in the Circa rules. And then I was like, oh, well, the Dodgers, they clearly should be the short shot. We'll get into all of it later. Anyway, I made a play, Kelly, and it's
like
coming
it.
Up.
Like it.
Hour number two on the show. Why hour number two, you ask? Because I'd like to even bet more this morning. That's why hour number two. So we'll get into all that. We'll go through the whole handicapping process of that. First, the NBA last night. The Dallas Mavericks are taking on the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. That will begin on Thursday at the TD Garden in Boston. Remember, it's a 2-2-1-1-1. 1985 through 2014, they switched the NBA Finals to a 2-3-2 because in those days, 1985, it was so often the Celtics and Lakers that David Stern, the commissioner, was like, nah, let's reduce travel by this point. Celtics-Lakers, coast-to-coast, let's go 2-3-2. Well, when Adam Silver took over 2014, he's like, yeah, not so much, 2-2-1-1-1 because we get more randos. And take, for instance, this one, Dallas-Boston. That ain't coast-to-coast. So we have 2-2-1-1-1, like the standard playoff series that exist pre-NBA Finals. And last night, in case you missed it, you didn't miss much. It was 18-18. Mavericks went on a 12-0 run to go up 30-18. At that point in the game already, 30-18, Luka had 20 points on 8 of 10 shooting, 4 for 5 from behind the arc. By the way, that was part of what ended up as a 17-1 run for the Mavs to conclude the first quarter. They were up 35-19, 16-point lead after the first quarter.
Yeah, it was Luka 20, Minnesota 19 at the end of the first.
That's right. Second quarter, more of the same. Second verse, same as the first, I believe someone once said. Mavs led by as many as 23 early, 46-23. They were doubling up the T-Wolves. They closed the half on an 11-2 run. They were up 29 at the half, 69-40. At that point, Luka had 25, Kyrie 19. Third quarter, they led by as many as 36, 82-46. Led by 24 at the end of the quarter, 97-93. They win it 124-103. The Timberwolves could never get it lower than 21 points.
They couldn't. Anyway, by the time it got into the second half, I mean, you know, how many times have we talked about NBA games and you're like, all right, like, there's live betting opportunities. Like, these is a, it's a game of runs. Like, there's going to be... It was the first time in a while. I'm not saying I bet it this way or anything. But first time in a while like that, by halftime, I was like, this is over. This is over.
Didn't I send you a text? The competitive portion of tonight's festivities is over.
Like, yeah. Luka was on one. You watch that first quarter, man. Like, he hasn't shot the ball like that in months just because he's been dealing with the knee injury. But him leaning into shots, fading away, everything was going in. You could tell early it was going to be a long night. By the time we got into that third quarter, it was dead silent in the arena. You could hear everything. Luka's yelling at people on the sidelines. Some fan was getting into it with him, and you know, classic Luka's yelling at everybody, yelling at the Wolves bench, yelling at a fan. Some fan had brought a handkerchief, I believe, is what got reported for his crying. Luka's crying. Yeah. Good little bit until he starts draining every shot in the building at you.
And so there you have it. Mavericks, you're going. By the way, you would like to say anything as we pour out a 40? Not a Cancun, a 1-2-3 Cancun thing, but anything you want to say about the Timberwolves in closing?
Let's all not overreact. I guess I would say that. And there's going to be a lot of, where were we a series ago with this team after they just beat the Denver Nuggets, and now it feels like all this fallout is coming because of Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and all this stuff, and this was still by far the best defensive team in the league next year. Let's all take a breath, and we can reapproach things in the offseason.
Will Hill said this. He said, imagine telling the Timberwolves after they came back from 20 to beat the Nuggets in Game 7, hey, you know, 11 days from now, you're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean? We're awesome. Not so much.
I don't know why. It feels like this year, even more so than others, like the instant reaction we want to have to everything, right? Anthony Edwards is Michael Jordan. Like, you know, they beat the Nuggets. It's,
yeah.
You know, to this morning, it's where does Luka Doncic fall in the greatest players of all time? Like, he's awesome, but can we let him win a championship first? Maybe.
How about what I brought up? Thank God we're not going to have to re-adjudicate the Rudy Gobert trade. For God's sakes.
Well, you know, we're on to the Kyrie one now, right? I mean, this is the championship, the Kyrie trade's going to look like one of the best trades ever.
Well, also the narrative is going to be all week how Kyrie left the Celtics. That conflict.
Oh, that and Porzingis. You got the Porzingis, Kyrie, absolutely. And it should be.
So I've said this in different ways for the last couple weeks, but once the Nuggets got bounced, it was clear to me that I had no sense for these Western Conference playoffs. There's really no sense to have in the Eastern Conference. It was that straightforward. But I feel that way now after this series as well. And so here we are now, the Mavericks and the Celtics. And dare I say, I feel like I am part of the crowd of people, and by crowd I mean every human being I've talked to, with the exception of Drew Dinsick, likes the Mavericks here. That scares me a little bit, because I do like the Mavericks at this price. Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest on the football side, he sent me this text this morning, and I love this, because, you know, with Stevie, it's always advice and then calling out people, even if there's nothing to be called out. He says, Gilly, I bet Dallas 2-1 and plus 190. He gives himself a fine because he bet it before he said anything. He said, Circus still has plus 185. This is Dallas in the NBA Finals on the series price. He says, I strongly believe the market is going to back Dallas. The narrative is going to be that Boston is a paper tiger built for a regular season and injury-aided three straight series. So if you're going to back Dallas, I would bet them now because I think this line is going down. If you like Boston, wait until post to get them. I completely agree with that. Here's the part that I love, though. He goes on to say, he says, also, I don't want to hear any blank about anyone getting 2-1 or plus 195 that I did, because I was all over the openers, and that was me that got those in pocket right after the games, and I want to see the tickets if they claim so. There it is, on brand. Asked him on air, what do you think you care more about, winning money or calling other people dumbos? And he's like, dumbos.
Oh, that's great.
So, by the way, you can parse this out of obviously more than just a series price. You can bet this game by game. First of all, over 5.5 is at -150, so slightly juiced to the over in terms of 5.5 games. The under's at +125. Celtics sweep is 6-1. A Mavericks sweep is 19-1. That, of course, is the long shot. Celtics in 7 is +350. Mavs in 7 is 8-1. The shortest of all shots is not the Celtics in 7. A tick shorter than that is the Celtics in 5 at +340.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to happen.
I don't think so. But we'll see. I actually think Drew on with us the other day was the perfect just to sum up what the Celtics are, where it's for a lot of NBA bettors, they've just broken his brain, right? I mean, like, we asked him a fair what is a price that a fair price for him on the NBA Finals with the Mavericks? He's like, I mean, -400 it should be for Celtics, but he's like, they've broken my numbers this postseason. He's like, I can't get there. So
this postseason, also last postseason, they broke.
Like, yeah, exactly. I'm really interested to see. I mean, that Porzingis has to be back. It sounds like he will be, but man, I think with those types of injuries and those types of players, I'm waiting to see. I would like to see him back before I think you really get excited about betting Boston. Otherwise, until then, you're probably just looking at the Dallas side. I don't know how you could bet Boston without knowing 100% for sure Porzingis is in there, which I don't really know we can say that yet.
And what's your Mavs ticket to win it all again? What number?
19-1. I have 40-1 in the exacta. You're the exactas. I have 41 on Dallas over Celtics in an exact.
Let's go, Kelly Bidlin.
I do agree with Steve's point on the price. I grabbed a little Celtics last night to hedge off a bit, though.
Coming back, French Open update. Remaining plays. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are so close to crowning an NBA champ. The finals are here, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5. You'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. One of my favorite things in the world, I was just saying off air, is to hear Kelly Bidlin and our next guest, Jordan Sherwood, talk about their old radio days in Palm Beach, Florida. Oh, they wax about it. They rhapsodize about it. It's a beautiful thing. Jordan comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Jordan Sherwood, that is, to talk UFC 302. Good morning to you, sir.
Always a pleasure, Gil. And yes, always a joy to talk West Palm Beach, Florida with one Kelly Bidlin. Going old school. Off air. Not for on-air content. Off-air content.
The Real Housewives of West Palm Beach, these guys. It's phenomenal.
Oh, man. Gil, we had when were we talking about Hard Rock with Crack? Was that this week or last week?
Last week, I think.
One of the first times I ever hung out with Jordan, I was basically asked to show him a good time, you know, because he was new in town. And we ended up at the Hard Rock way late. One of my favorite memories of Jordan.
Are you like, this ain't Palm Beach anymore? Jordan, by the way, is the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Before we talk UFC 302, I would be remiss if I just ignored what you're wearing. You are wearing a Chicago Bears top. You are a Bears fan, and the Bears are going to be featured on Hard Knocks. How? Because I've always wondered, like, if Washington ever got on this, I think me and my buddies will just go crazy. How do you guys feel about this as Bears fans? Are you happy? Are you mixed in your feelings?
We kind of knew that this was coming. The reports were that, you know, they were one of what, 4 teams available for Hard Knocks. They've got all the storylines of the offseason with Caleb Williams, the additions, the stadium discussion that's going on with the team in the city. So it's about time. Basically, Bears fans want the spotlight. They like the attention. And look, it's going to give them a little bit more of an inside look of Caleb Williams and how he's maturing as a rookie. So, yeah, we're absolutely excited as Bears fans that they're going to be featured on Hard Knocks.
Okay. All right. What did I say after the draft? Caleb Williams, certainly not lacking for confidence. That I will say.
Yes, that is correct.
I am very interested to see what his personality is like on a more in-depth basis. All right, UFC 302 in Newark, New Jersey. Let us start with the main event, the lightweight title bout between Islam Makhachev and Dustin Poirier, where Makhachev is a $6 favorite, Poirier plus 440 on the comeback. For those who don't know, Makhachev, number one pound-for-pound fighter, hadn't defended this title, hadn't fought at this for this title against another lightweight, though. Had fought twice, defended twice already against a former featherweight champion, Alexander Volkanovski. He moved up to the 155-pound belt to do so. And then you have Poirier. We all know him, former interim lightweight champ. This is his third attempt for the 155-pound title. He beat Benoit Saint-Denis. I know you know that, Kelly. Benoit Saint-Denis.
Yeah.
By second-round knockout at UFC 299. How are we betting this? And by the way, Jordan, just to, like, watch Makhachev's sort of interviews leading up to this, he is not the most cuddly guy in the world. Let me just say that.
No, I mean, he's there to fight. He's there to fight and be a dominating champion. And look, I understand why the odds are in the place. Makhachev is, as you alluded to, Gil, number one in the pound-for-pound rankings as a fighter. And he can do it all. He's not just a grappler. He's also evolved as a striker. And, you know, he is Khabib Nurmagomedov 2.0. He's the protege of Khabib, and Khabib's going to be in his corner. So there's a lot of familiarity. Nurmagomedov defeated Dustin Poirier a few years ago. And yes, you are right. This is Makhachev's technically first title defense against a lightweight. But Dustin Poirier, whether he hangs it up or not after this fight, is a future Hall of Famer. He's a great boxer, but he's struggled with guys that have a grappling attack. And that is what Islam Makhachev is going to feature, you know, in this fight. And I'd love a storybook ending for Dustin Poirier to finally become the lightweight champion of the world. But I don't believe that that's going to be the case. But the dollar price point at Makhachev, you can't lay that. You can't lay $650 on Makhachev to win the fight or, you know, maybe even get creative. So what I'm going to look at is actually what Makhachev typically does in fights, starts a little bit slow, gets a feel for his opponent, and then goes on the attack. And the last two times that Dustin Poirier has lost in a title fight via submission, it's been in the third round. So how about this to get creative? Makhachev to win in round number three.
Ooh.
It's at plus, I think, 600 or 650 on most books.
Wow.
So, you know, Dustin Poirier is a tough out, and I would love to see him win the championship, but I just can't see that happening. So Makhachev to win, likely inside the distance, but let's get really creative and say that he wins in round three. However, I just want to throw out two things real quick, because this is a numbers game. Dustin Poirier is 7-0 in his MMA career in the month of June. And we'll get to him in the co-main event. The last seven times that Paulo Costa has been featured, not in the main event, but in the co-main event or on a main card, the defending champion has lost in all seven instances. If you believe in the numbers, Dustin Poirier is the new champion of the world on Saturday night.
Is there anything meaningful to that June stat, honestly, Jordan?
Not really. No, okay, I mean, right. A fight's a fight. A matchup is a matchup. But look, if you like to play and you want a little bit more confidence back in Dustin Poirier, the dude is 7-0 in the month of June.
You're absolutely right, though. Makhachev, that's exactly who he reminds you of. Nurmagomedov, not only in terms of his fighting, but just his attitude as well. And then they both go out and they take care of business. Daniel Cormier was talking to Makhachev, and he was like, you know, any throwaway question he would ask, instead of rolling with the punch, he would like challenge back. So he'd be like, this Poirier match is really going to, like, you know, salt your status. He's like, why would you say that? It's just great. All right, co-main, Sean Strickland, Paulo Costa, with Strickland a big favorite here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this card is extremely chalky. I understand why Sean Strickland is as big of a favorite as he is. He's got great boxing. You know, he's got outstanding cardio. He's going to be in the face of Paulo Costa from the onset. This is a five-round fight, even though it's a co-main event and not for a championship. And he's the former champion. And questions have been always asked about Paulo Costa. Where's his head at? Is this guy motivated? This will be the first time he actually fights twice in a calendar year since he made his UFC debut, I think, in 2017. So it's been a while since Paulo Costa has been consistent. But the game plan for Sean Strickland is to be in the face, use the jab, and outbox and outwork Paulo Costa. But here's the thing. The last two times that Sean Strickland has lost a fight, he's lost it against guys that carry power and can go hard for five rounds. Jared Cannonier comes to mind. Similar game plan, similar type of style, holistically, for Paulo Costa. So for me, I could understand backing Strickland, put him into a parlay. But I think actually there's some value on Paulo Costa to land more of the significant damage strikes throughout a five-round fight and win this fight via decision at plus 850. Ooh. It's a flyer. It's not a totally recommended confidence pick, but like Strickland in a kickboxing match, which he's going to do against Paulo Costa, has struggled against guys that are powerful punchers. So I like Paulo Costa. If he's right, his mind is right, he's set. And apparently he is because he's fighting consistently now. I think he could steal an upset here. This would be the one upset pick I look at in the main card.
Jordan is not messing around. Makhachev round three plus 650. Costa via decision plus 850. Whew. All right, you got two more plays on the main card. We got 90 seconds. What do you got here?
Yeah, I like the matchup on the main card opener, Randy Brown against Alicia Dos Santos. I think Randy Brown is going to utilize his athleticism, his reach, and just outpoint, outwork Dos Santos. Just avoid the phone booth fight. He's a $1.70 favorite on the money line, so I like him. And Kevin Holland returning to middleweight against Mikhail Ojacek. Ojacek has struggled at times with some takedowns. Jacek's going to have to work the body and look for a knockout. Holland's got a granite chin. And as long as he's just not having conversation with his opponent, because for some reason, Kevin Holland likes to talk to his opponent and like really get into dialogue. Concentrate on what you're doing, Kevin Holland. Get the takedown. And Ojacek has been submitted in two of his three current losses in his UFC career. Holland's got some good darts chokes, some good rear naked chokes. So I like Holland via submission to get some plus money on Kevin Holland to win the fight.
All right. Did we go through all four? Did we get them all in? Yes.
I think so.
We did. Three dogs and a favorite.
That's another, like, don't these guys realize we're betting on them? Stop talking and fight. Come on.
It's just before Kelly even got to that, I was going to say, Kelly, you love Jordan Spieth and golf so much. Kevin Holland is your new favorite UFC fighter.
Shut up and fight. Come on.
Shut up and fight. Stop talking. Jordan, appreciate it. Congratulations on the Bears on Hard Knocks, man.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody. Talking UFC 302. Again, you can follow Jordan on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000, co-host of the unnamed MMA podcast. Still to come, MLB most wins June. We will get to that in hour number two. But next, Chris Velika. People call him the Bear. He's going to not only talk Champions League with us, but he's also got a couple college football season win totals. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Numbers Game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, best listeners in the game. We appreciate it. Numbers Game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. As always, you can find out more at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Bill Ady's favorite is the wintergreen. He swears by wintergreen on Zyn. Mm. Just want to point that out. Yeah, shout out.
Several flavors to choose.
Several flavors to choose from, but he's a wintergreen kind of guy. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear. We know him as Christopher Velika, Fox Sports, all sort of court betting expert, to use the tennis term. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm okay. I'm going through some things in terms of figuring out how to maximize a ticket that I have. And you influenced me this morning by looking to see if I was able to play most wins in the month of June on the season Will Hill app in Massachusetts. So after I'm done here, I think I'm going to take a ride and go make a couple of plays here on most wins in June.
There you go.
I'm going to play the Twins. It's 16-1. Mm-hmm. They got 16 games versus Pirates, Oakland, Colorado, and Tampa. And I'm going to go play the Mariners at 11-1, and they get that holy trinity of the White Sox, Marlins, and A's. So those are the two that I was going to take a look at and play.
Okay, Twins and who was the second one?
Mariners.
Twins and Mariners. We're showing the Twins and Mariners as the fifth and fourth shots respectively at Circa anywhere on those. And by the way, that's also the thing. Also, you know, look at the Circa odds juxtaposed. I know you don't have Circa available for you,
right,
Chris, but for the people that do have both available, look at the odds juxtaposition and the rules again really matter. Like it always comes down to, because remember last month, I was probably in a better position having the tiebreakers of Circa, whereas this month it was a worse position to have on the Guardian.
Right.
So you have to sort of think that, and we'll get into all that strategy coming up when we talk about it, because, and we'll get into that, but it's like having more games can be a double-edged sword kind of thing. We'll talk about it a little later on. All right, let us begin with the Champions League final and what your bet is there, sir.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, being that I am not a Real Madrid supporter or anything at all. They've ripped my heart out in the past, and I'm not a fan of these super teams that basically go out and just buy whoever they want. And you could really make an argument that neither of these two teams, Real Madrid or Dortmund, should be here. If you look over the two-legged tie between Dortmund and PSG, there's nothing that indicated that Dortmund should have gotten through, yet they did. And Bayern Munich had an absolute collapse in Madrid in that second leg that allowed Madrid to get here. But these two teams are here. They will be playing for the championship tomorrow. And everyone who knows me knows that there isn't a bet I like more than a high-stakes soccer match under. I put under 2.5. In the last five Champions League finals, there have been a total of 6 goals. The last four had been 1-0, and the one before that was 2-0. So these are matches with so much at stake. Teams do not want to allow to have a big mistake in this game to allow an easy opportunity. So under 2.5 was the was play number one, and then I also played Vinny Jr. Anytime goal scorer at +130. I think this has a 1-0, 2-0 Real Madrid type win. Vinny Jr. has gotten most of the big goals for Real Madrid. This year, he scored in the Champions League final against Liverpool a couple of years ago. Fantastic player that I don't think he gets the recognition worldwide as one of the elite players in the world that he should. So it feels like a 1-0, 2-0 Real Madrid win, with Vinny Jr. at least getting one goal.
Okay, let us shift to college football. Never too early to talk college football.
No.
Before we get to your season win totals, refresh folks' memory, because I know you had a really definitive opinion on this before most did it, and at least in my sphere anecdotally. The playoff. So we are now moving into a whole different realm of college football. Was this generally something that you're happy about, or generally something that you're actually sad to see the old days go?
I'm kind of sad about it. Look, I don't want to say I'm sad about it, because more college football games are never really a bad thing as someone who loves the sport. But at the same time, you're really not increasing the number of teams that are going to win the national championship. So I'm not necessarily in love with it. I still think that if you look at this year, it's hard for me to make a case between anyone other than Georgia, Ohio State. If you want to maybe throw Oregon in there as a team that could win, but that's really about it. So I'm not necessarily a fan of the expansion. I think it should have been hard to get in. I think the discussions and the debate about who's four, who's five, I think they were great for the sport. And now you're looking at games that, and rivalries like the Ohio State-Michigan game, likely is not going to mean anything ever again in terms of what both teams are going to be in the playoffs, or the playoff, I should say. But that's why that game mattered so much last year with Ohio State and Michigan. Like, the stakes of these regular season games are nowhere near as great as they once were because of the expansion now. But this is what we have, and I understand why ESPN paid what they did for it, and people are going to watch, and I'm going to watch, and you're going to watch, and we're going to bet on it.
Yep.
And we're going to yell and scream about it. So it is what it is.
Bring back the BCS. That's what I say. Let's roll it back.
Bring back the BCS and the computers.
There are people that are calling for that, Kelly.
All right, you got one over, you got one under. Let's start with the over.
Yeah, I played Syracuse over 6.5. And I know people are probably like, what the hell are you playing? Syracuse over 6.5? I mean, it's a team that won 6 games last year. They bring in Fran Brown, who is a really, really good recruiter. A lot of ties to the South. He brought in a couple of transfers from Georgia at wide receiver. You brought in Kyle McCord, quarterback at Ohio State last year. Now, maybe he didn't pan out at Ohio State, but it's still a massive upgrade for Syracuse at the quarterback position. The schedule should allow them potentially to be 4-0, 5-0 maybe to start. This is the ACC. We're not talking about a powerhouse type league here. So they got some other winnable games later in the year. But I think Syracuse could be a sneaky good team this year, and certainly press for bowl eligibility. Certainly, I think they get to 6, and I think there's an excellent chance that they get to 7.
Yeah, and I'm just, I know it's May, and we're looking over a schedule, and we're doing the whole this game they should win, this game they should lose kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Hardest game on there is probably at NC State. It doesn't look like that hard of a schedule, quite frankly.
No, yeah. It doesn't. And that's what the ACC is, just kind of a mishmash, conglomeration of a lot of, just averageness, lack of a better word.
Okay, and you have an under on UCLA.
Yeah, I don't think UCLA is going to be very good this year at all. Certainly a lot of turnover on the coaching staff, but turnover on the roster as well. Losing Denton Lynn, the defensive coordinator, to your rival, USC, certainly not good. Losing one of the best defensive players in the country, the best, the guy who was the top defensive player taken in the draft, unfortunately, much to the chagrin of us that had tickets on other players. Ethan Garbers is back at quarterback, but I mean, is he really the guy? But they got a stretch early in the year. I think it's LSU, Oregon, Ohio State. I think it's the three games that they have in a row. Like, you're going to lose all three of those games. I just don't know how many stops this team is going to get and how they're going to hold up potentially in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball, losing Latu and a lot of the other guys on that defensive side of the ball in the Big Ten, where they're going to go up against a lot more physical offensive lines than they did in the Pac-12. So UCLA under 5.5, Syracuse over 6.5 were the first two that I fired on.
Our buddy Pete Futak over at collegefootballnews.com, he ranks all of the 134 D1 college football schedules. He has UCLA's football schedule as the third hardest in the entire nation.
Behind Florida and who? Who does he have to?
Good call. Florida's number two, and he has USC as the hardest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
USC 1, Florida 2, UCLA 3. By the way, Purdue and Michigan rounding out the top 5. I know the Belmont is a week away. I know it's not at Belmont Park. It's at Saratoga. Any preliminary thoughts?
It's going to be hard to get past Sierra Leone. With fierceness now out of the race, we're either going to get Torpedo Anna or Mystic Dan from Ken McPeak, the Oaks winner and the Derby winner. We're going to get one of those two. But Sierra Leone just towers over this field. So if you can find a fixed odds price on Sierra Leone prior to next week, I think that's probably the best way to attack this guy. It's not going to be necessarily a big field, so I don't know how much money you're really going to be able to make in this race, even keying Sierra Leone on top of some tries, hoping for some long shots. But if this weekend, I actually was looking for some other things to potentially play and give everybody out. So I was looking at Churchill Downs tomorrow. They got some nice stakes races. The number one horse in the 6th race, Ottoman Fleet, at Churchill tomorrow in the Arlington Stakes. 9-5 morning line. Looks like he should tower over this field. Probably will go off shorter than that again. And if you look a couple of races later in the regret, the 9th race at Churchill, the number 5 horse, Poolside with Slim. That's 3 old fillies. I like betting on these types of horses. Brooke Maiden went through right into stakes race at Tampa Bay Downs, ran a respectable 4th at 6-1. Next started at Keeneland, kind of led all the way around and then tired. But I think going back here, 3rd start now against winners, 8-1 morning line, doesn't look like a ton of speed in the race. Rusty Arnold is a trainer who can win on the turf with the horse at a price. So I think Poolside with Slim is someone that you might want to take a look at in this race at dice price.
Poolside with Slim.
That's a great name.
When Kelly invites friends over to his complex, he's like, you want to come poolside with Slim? I'm like, who's Slim? He's like, that's me.
That's me.
That's me. Chris, always appreciate it. Good luck with all the bets. Thanks for all the horse plays.
You got it.
Chris Felica, everybody. @ Chris Felica, FALLICA on the Twitter machine. Bear Bets Pod is what he does over there at Fox Sports. Check it out. John Legesa, some instant baseball offense next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240. You can now secure your subscription for just $199. But here's the dealio. Today is the final day. We'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. And with VSiN Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, today's the final day of this 14-month offer, so visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game, folks.
ANG.
Get it now.
ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Scott Alexander, I was inarticulate before the end of the break what I was trying to say about, because Jason had brought up Rookie of the Year, and if your innings are limited, as rookies are, don't bet a Rookie of the Year. And I was making the point earlier that Tanner Houck, you shouldn't bet him for Cy Young because I think his innings in his like third or fourth year are going to be limited. So it's like, anyway, I was inarticulate about that. I just want to
make
that
I got you.
Correction. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate that. This is Blake, GM of the week. He said, "Hey Gil, when is it appropriate to bet more than a single unit? Is it more about finding a good number to get in on, or about model slash stats that may be unaccounted for with any specific line or price? Also, best restaurant at Mandalay. Thanks. Love the show." Thank you. Let's take the second one first. Best restaurant at Mandalay. That steak place is great.
Steak place is great.
Strip steak.
Strip steak. Pork belly fried rice. Boom. Actually, that's one of my favorite sides in town is at Strip Steak.
And a nice little dessert place is a Citizen, right in the middle.
I don't really know if they have much else in that,
no,
for being
dessert.
Honest. Yeah.
Yeah,
just dessert. No, I'm saying like restaurants in general that I would recommend.
But, yeah, not really.
But you're right. Strip Steak is great and one of my favorite sides in town.
Yeah. As far as the like betting more than a unit kind of thing, I mean, again, if you have a model, the larger the edge – with confidence in that model, the larger the unit size, some would subscribe to, short of having that kind of precision on stuff. I don't know that I would go around recommending the average bettor to do that kind of thing.
I think it's regardless of how you're handicapping sports, the larger the edge is where you would end up making larger bets. But, you know, I think if you are more of a novice bettor, just getting started out, flat betting, everything is the way you should be approaching this.
Yeah, I think so. This is from, last one here. Let me read one more here. This is from, Joe C714. Will always have a place in my heart. He said, "Does Gil still have the autographed Iga Świątek ball by his TV that I gave him? I can claim the best gift given by a loyal listener, according to Gil. Please DM me the sushi spot." I will. When you're coming here, I will DM you the sushi spot, my man. Appreciate that. Okay. College World Series plays real quick. Can we get these out of the way before we get to Paul?
Yeah, let's do it. Yep.
These are what we have at College World Series. The regionals begin today. College baseball, baby. Thanks to Matt Grissom. Thanks to Ben Wilson. Thanks to everybody who has talked college baseball with us this year. Ole Miss 100-1 a couple years back.
More people bet college baseball now than Major League Baseball.
It's an interesting question. Certainly around our little corner
say,
of the world.
On our network,
not,
it might be
not generally
about
they
much.
Don't, but in our little corner of the world. By the way, I like to think that we have a little something to do with that over here on ANG. To win the College World Series, I have three bets. Two of them completely inspired by Matt Grissom, and those are the first two there. Wake Forest at 20-1 and Georgia at 25-1. Those are simply based on the collegebaseballinsiders.com rankings that he had at the time that he was on the show here a couple weeks ago. He had Georgia as the number two team in the country when he did. And then Georgia, by the way, right after he was on, had like a bad stretch. But I got Wake Forest 20-1. I got Georgia 25-1. And I have your FSU Seminoles at 35-1 behind their ace, Jamie Orr.
Let's go, Noles. Let's go, Noles. I'm on them as well to win the College World Series and the regional this weekend. And Oklahoma State is my other one.
Okay. There you go. Paul Carr joins us from all parts of America. Typically, it's Topeka, Kansas, but he can be found in so many locations because he's a renaissance man when it comes to sports. Paul joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul, where are you today?
Gil, I'm talking to you live from Commerce City, Colorado, and Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which is where the U.S. women will play South Korea in a friendly, soccer-friendly tomorrow.
We knew that. Of course.
I know.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, Colorado.
Stop making up cities.
Yeah.
it's just
I think that's pretty much it. You know, how they... You know, they kind of made up the city and started putting stuff here. It's one of those, you know, down the suburbs of Denver. Does have a nice view of the Rockies. But, yeah, it's a town that's just kind of sprung up, and there's not a ton here, but it's a nice stadium and a nice view of the mountains.
By the way, is there anything more antithetical to the American brain than the notion of a soccer-friendly?
Yeah, it's trying to explain it to... Yeah, a traditional American sports fan is a little bit weird. Like, yeah. So it doesn't count? Well, it does count. So it's like preseason? Well, no, but yes.
Yes.
And
no,
yeah.
Kind of. What do you mean friendly?
Right.
Not really friendly, but yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the team.
Okay, before we get to your Champions League final play, lay out, if you would, the summer soccer schedule for us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Soccer never stops, as I always say. So next week is when Euros start. This is the European Championship, normally every 4 years. So, you know, it's the closest thing to a World Cup in general, because most of the best teams are in Europe. So that starts, I think it's a week from today in Germany. So that'll be a fun one, as always. The week after that, Copa America starts. Copa America is usually just South American teams, but they're having a special one this year that includes the U.S., it includes Mexico and other CONCACAF teams, and it's in the United States. That starts in 2 weeks,
ooh,
and then end of July is when the Olympics will start. That's a U23 tournament for the men and a senior tournament for the women.
Do you anticipate betting each and every one of those events?
Euros and Copa, absolutely. I have a few futures in already. Olympics, the men I shy away from more, again, just because the youth tournament, a little less known. The women, probably a few plays just because it's a senior tournament, a little easier to get a handle on, things like that.
All right. Wherever Germany is playing, Paul Carr is sure to have a bet.
That's right.
I can neither confirm nor deny already having a future on Germany to win Euros.
Oh, okay. I think I stepped into it there. All right. Champions League final. You have not one, not two, but three plays. How do you feel about this, and what are your plays?
I do. Yeah, so this is Real Madrid against Dortmund. Real Madrid is a heavy favorite. You know, they're roughly minus 160 on the three-way. That's a 90-minute money line. They're a sizable favorite. And just trying to, you know, you try to kind of play out how is this game going to go in your head and make your bets accordingly in part. So, you know, I'm just looking at last four Champions League finals have all ended 1-0. And the first halves of those four finals, total of one goal. So, and then Dortmund has a reputation as a little bit of a higher scoring team because their defense isn't great. And Real Madrid has as much offensive talent as anybody. So it's a little, I don't know, dangerous in my head at least to do this, but I think this will be a low-scoring game, especially early on. Dortmund has tended to be defensive, more defensive and a little better defensively when they're outclassed, like they were against PSG earlier in the knockout stage. So I'll start. My first play is no goals in the first half, plus 245, just because, again, Dortmund, I think, will come out defensive. Madrid is not a team like maybe a Man City that just presses, and tries to score. They're just much more comfortable, you know, without the ball or sitting back and just kind of being patient. So I think I'll start right there. No goals, first half, plus 245 is my first play there.
Wow. Okay. First half, under a half a goal. You might see that listed that way as well. Plus 245.
Yep.
All right. And then and under for the whole game as well?
Yep. Yeah. So we'll carry this over to the whole game. Again, last four finals all ended 1-0. Four of Dortmund's six knockout games have had two or fewer goals. So again, they try to keep it tight, steal a goal type of thing. And even Real Madrid's knockout games, half of them had two or fewer goals, and two others probably should have. You know, there was a silly 3-3 game against Man City where there was like 1.5 expected goals total, and there was a 2-2 game against Bayern that had two penalties. So, under 2.5, you get plus money. I have it at plus 120, so under 2.5 goals. And I'll say what I always say. This is a 90-minute bet, so if this goes to extra time, say a 1-1, and someone wins an extra time, you're still winning this under 2.5 bet because, by default at least, you're making 90-minute bets.
Okay, because you have a future here on play two, right?
Yeah, I have a Real Madrid. This was a kind of a brain-dead type of play I made in January or February where it's like, hey, I'm just going to throw something on Real Madrid because they always seem to win Champions League. So I have a plus 550 that's in action. So I'm kind of semi-hedging this a little bit.
You're threading the needle here, right? Yeah.
So, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I got a chance to win both of these, but I like the Dortmund double chance at plus 130. Again, I think Dortmund's going to try and keep it tight. Could very easily see this being 1-1 at the end of 90 minutes, which again cashes the bet.
Yep.
Even if Real Madrid goes on to win an extra time, or whoever wins the penalties, doesn't matter.
Okay.
So yeah, I have Dortmund double chance plus 130. So if it goes, you know, 1-1 to extra time, Madrid wins, then I'm cashing everything.
Okay, so under a half goal, first half plus 245, under 2.5 goals for the game plus 120. We got 30 seconds for your final bet. That is
final one's the Dortmund double chance. Yeah, plus 130. Again, I think Dortmund will try to keep it tight. Try to hit one goal on the counter. And if it's, you know, 1-0 late, Real Madrid's going to be fine. They just go grind out a goal in the last 10 minutes like they always seem to do. You get the extra time, and that would be a winner in that case.
All right, Paul,
there.
Paul, enjoy Commerce City and Dick's Sporting Goods Arena, I believe you called it, or field.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Park. It's a park. Yeah. It's not a field. It's a park.
Get it together, Gil.
That's right.
Thank you, Paul.
Sheesh.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You're welcome.
Senior Director of Content at True Media Sports, also the host of the Expected Value podcast from Commerce City, Colorado. MLB, most wins, June. It is next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.